One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Hello and welcome to the Realm of the Supernatural. Today you're joining us from 1960. It's me, Finchy McFinch, and I'm joined with...
me, Solway.
And on today's show, we're going through a time-lapse episode.
Time slips.
Time slips.
So, yes, back to the future.
Back to the future, indeed.
So you'll find out how the Simpsons control the world.
Yeah,
the
Simpsons, yeah, it's all
well, about... allegedly.
Well, supposedly.
Yeah. But we've got a couple of interesting stories from Liverpool of time slips.
And Nutty Noah.
And Nutty Noah, yeah.
Nutty Noah.
Yeah, check out his picture. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Find out. Anyway, any pictures that we talk about, obviously, they're on the Hangout.
Yep.
If you get a chance to go across the website, which is RealmOfTheSupernaturalPodcast.com. Just a quick thing before we get a little bit of housekeeping, before we get into the show. Just wanted to mention the state of podcasting affecting everybody. I was listening to a major podcast the other day, and even he was saying he's just give up now.
Yeah.
I've give up with the... trying to get some support thing.
Yep.
So he's opted for the old half the episode out, half the episode behind paywall.
Ah, right.
Yeah, which a lot of people do. It's because I understand that a lot of people think, well, podcasts are free, so they don't have to pay anything towards it.
Yeah.
But all we would say is, because you'll notice, like, you know, podcasts, you know, I was looking at a podcast that I listened to, and they used to do weekly episodes.
Yep.
And now they've gone to, because we try and get three out a month, they've actually gone to two a month, and one of the ones I listen to has actually gone to one a month.
Right.
Just because of the lack of support, and, you know, and some of these have got ads as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But they're still shrinking down. So, basically what we're saying is, if you enjoy the podcast, our podcast, then if you could join Patreon... even if you just joined 1 month a year.
Yeah.
You know, so if everybody who's listening just joined for 1 month a year.
Yep.
You know, that'd be a massive support.
It's all about spreading the word, really, isn't it?
That as well, yeah. I mean, if you can help spread the show, if you can, you know, if you could post it up on social media, if you can tell someone about it, if you can, you know, buy a t-shirt, you know, and then walk around as like, you know, with a t-shirt on, people asking questions, what's that? Any of that.
Ambassador,
yeah. Any of that is a massive, massive help. And it's the only way really to spread the podcast is word of mouth. You know, that's the easiest way to spread it.
Yeah.
It really is. So you know, consider it. If you enjoy the show, even if you just doing, even if you enjoyed one episode this whole year, considering just signing up for Patreon for 1 month and then you can cancel. It's like, I mean, it's $2 a month. But if everyone did that, everyone who listened did that, or even half the people who listened did that, then the podcast would continue for another year. No bother. So just consider it, because I hear a lot of these major company podcasts even, and even they're reducing it, and some of them are just going. I mean, a lot of British podcasts have gone this year.
Yeah.
Because they can't get support. So anyway, that being said, let's just, you know, that's it basically. If you can help. We do desperately need the help.
Spread the word. Play it on the train out loud. Don't worry about everyone else. Just play it out loud.
Yeah, we'll try not to swear.
Try not. Well, I can't promise, hopefully, but...
Depends on how much I have to drink, but...
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's Alioni's fault for the moment as we're recording, so...
Yeah. But yeah, the Fast Blast that we do, we're hoping to maybe do a few in video format as well.
Yep.
5 minute, 10 minute episodes, so they'll go up on Facebook as well. So if you... You know, if you're on Facebook and you know, you can tune into us there as well. But anyway, that being said, let's get on with the show. Time slips.
Yeah, time slips.
Okay, so when you start looking into time slips, you start running into stories that occur around Liverpool.
All right.
There's quite a few, and they all seem to centre around the same sort of area in Liverpool. Now, when you start looking into these time slips, you start getting people talking about ley lines and this sort of thing, whether there's a build-up of energy and you just happen to walk into it, and it's possible that something, I don't know, with the Earth's magnetic field or something's going on in this area...
Not just Scousers on crack.
No, which causes these phenomenon, if you like.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a famous case... about Carol and Frank.
Carol and Frank.
Yeah, so Frank and his wife Carol, okay? And this is back in 1996. So they decide to go down to Liverpool Centre to do some shopping.
Yep.
And as he's there, his wife decides to go into the then Waterstones, the large bookshop there.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And this is on Bold Street. Anyway, as they're approaching, Frank decides he needs to pop into a different shop. So he says to his wife, "You run ahead. And I'll pop in this shop.
As you do.
I'll catch you up." Yeah.
When your missus off into the clothes shop, we'll pop in somewhere else. Yeah.
I'll go and look at some interesting. I'll meet you in about 20 minutes at Starbucks. So that's what happens. Anyway, he's walking down the street and he bumps into an old friend. He starts speaking to him. Anyway, after a little chat, he decides to carry on with his journey. Okay, so he goes into the shop that he wanted to go in. And then he decides to... rejoin his wife.
Yeah.
So he goes down the street and he turns the corner. Now, what should have been in front of him at this point on Bold Street is Waterstones, the bookshop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But what he sees in front of him is a shop with a name Cripps over the top. Okay. And now, he hadn't just come into Liverpool for a day trip. This guy lives there. You know, he's been into Waterstones, or he's been past Waterstones many, many times. He knows where the place is. It's like if I said to you, "Oh, where's, I don't know, WH Smith's in town?" Or,
you
know,
Woolworths. You can point it out straight away, can't you?
Yeah. It's not something like, you know, even if you didn't go there regularly, you still know where these shops are.
Yeah.
And anyway, he comes around the corner and he sees this shop and it's, you know, a different name on it. And he's thinking, that's strange. Anyway, he stood there puzzled. Anyway, he starts walking across the road and he's bemused, and as he starts walking across the road, a van can come past him and bibs him. So he's sort of in a daze, you know what I mean? He's sort of in like a world of his own. And this van bibs him, and he noticed on the side of the van it said Cardens on it. And he also noticed it was an old style van.
Yeah.
Which they do get from time to time. People still travel around in these older vehicles. But he said it represented a vehicle from the 50s or the 60s. Anyway, he walks across the road and he gets to where Waterstones should be. He's looking at this building, and inside this building, in the windows on display, is ladies' garments.
Yep.
Coats, scarves, umbrellas, that kind of thing. So it's obviously a women's accessory shop, clothes shop. And this really shouldn't be there. So he sort of stumbles back again. He's like looking, and he starts looking around, and it's then when he realised that all the vehicles were from the 50s, 60s.
Right.
Okay, and even some places that he recognised had different letter in.
Not just a 1960s weekend, was it?
Well, this is what he thought at first. Maybe, you know, maybe the people around him were just like part of some sort of, you know, event.
Event,
but when he started looking around at the buildings that he should, that he knows, you know, these buildings he's seen for 20, 30 years, and they're different. The sign writing's different. The everything's different.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's looking at his shop, and this lady approached him, a young girl approached him aside, and he looks at her, and she looks a bit bemused as well, and she's looking at this Waterstones. Anyway, he decides to go in, right? This should be the shop. So he goes inside. And as he goes inside, he's relieved that the shop inside is actually the bookshop.
All right.
Okay. And then this young woman walks in behind him and she sort of looks around and he looks at her and she looks puzzled. And she said to him, I thought this was a woman's accessory shop, a clothes shop.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. Anyway, she just like looked puzzled and just walked back out into the street. Anyway, he finds his wife in there and tells her what's just happened. They go back outside, and obviously when he turns around, it's Waterstones.
Ah,
so
right.
So it's gone back to
But the other woman's seen it as well.
She seemed to be bemused just as much as he was.
She just disappeared then, or
she just went back outside, that's all he knows.
Ah, right.
Yeah, she just went back outside. But what's interesting about this story, for me, is that Frank is a police officer, or a former police officer.
Ah, right.
So he's used to looking at looking for details, that
Find
kind of
specific
thing.
Details,
yeah. So he's not just, you know, he's trained for that over the course of his career. So for him to notice these things, even like he says, he saw the van coast past. He said the sign writing on the van was Carden.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, a local journalist got involved and did some digging around for him, and she actually found that there was a company in the area which was like a van hire place, and it was called Carden's.
All right.
Yeah, and the particular shop in question, what is Wild Waterstones, used to be a woman's clothes shop called Cribs.
Right.
And actually got photographs of that. You can go and look at them. So, but he's not the only person to report that happening on Bold Street.
So right. Okay.
Yeah, that place seems to be
quite popular with the
indeed.
Now,
there's another story. It takes place in Liverpool as well. This is the story of Imogen.
Imogen.
Mm. So her sister was having a baby. Her sister called Abigail was having a baby. And she decided while she was in Liverpool, she was going to pop in and get some baby clothes.
Yeah.
So it's for the new baby. Anyway, she walks into the town centre and she sees this mother care shop. Okay, so she pops inside. And she said she was browsing in there for quite a few minutes. And she couldn't believe how cheap everything was.
Yeah.
She was picking these bibs up and it was like 50p. She was picking this, baby grows and that, and they were like £1 and that. She just thought, well, this is really cheap. But then she thought, well, it's a new shop. I've never seen this shop before. So maybe this is like an introductory price.
Get you in.
Yeah. This is like the opening, and like, they're going to do all these cheap products. So she doesn't think too much about it. She goes around, she fills the basket up.
Yeah.
She goes up to the cashier. And the cashier tells her the price, and she gets her card out, her credit card. And the cashier sort of looks at her a bit strange. She says, "You're all right to pay by card?" And the cashier says, I'll have to speak to the manager.
All right.
Okay. So this is strange,
Yeah.
But then she's still thinking, well, maybe it's a new store. Maybe everything's not up to spec yet. You know,
maybe I've got
the card machines running or whatever. So the manager comes across and takes the card off and has a look at this card. And then the manager says, I'm sorry, but we can't accept that.
All right.
And she says, all right, well, that's a shame because I ain't got any cash on me. So I'm going to have to go find some cash. Anyway, she comes outside. She's been there quite a while. So she decides, I'll leave it till tomorrow. I'm going to go back in town tomorrow. I'll pop back tomorrow. So she goes home. Anyway, she's talking to her mother about it. And she says to her, you know, have you seen this new mother care store that's opened up on the corner of Lord Street and Whitechapel? And her mother says to her, where? And she says, on the corner of Lord Street and Whitechapel. She says, that's not mother care, that's a bank. And she says, no, it's a new mother care that's just opened. She said, no, it used to be a mother care before it turned to a bank.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, she was saying, she was saying to her mother, you don't know what you're talking about, kind of. So she said, come on, we'll go back there. So they went back the next day. And anyway, she gets around the corner and there it is, it's a bank.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So it's one of them where you think, well, if she'd bought the clothes
with cash,
right, and come outside, and if she had the clothes, what would happen when, you know, she goes back to the future, essentially?
Yeah.
Do the clothes vanish?
Do they vanish, or do they stay with her, or?
Or does she, you know, I mean, if she makes contact with that realm, does she stay
there?
Well,
if she gets a receipt as well, and there
well,
you
she
go,
yeah. Can't take them back. But it makes you wonder just how many times this happens, because people go missing all the time. Obviously, yeah. Most people who go missing want to go missing.
Yeah.
You know, that's not...
Don't want to be found.
Essentially, and a lot of them obviously kill themselves.
Yeah.
Depending where they do it, they might not be found for years, may never be found. But a lot of people who go missing want to go missing, so I understand that. But then there's still a proportion of people who go missing, and there's no real reason why they should go missing.
But we're not talking about a persona or out like that. We're talking about a full shop.
Yeah. Yeah. She went round. She's picking items up. She's talking to the cashier.
So are we saying this is a time slip? Are we saying it's more of like a vision, you know,
like a dream,
or not only that, you know, when you're in the desert and you see the is it mirage?
Yeah, like an hallucination.
You see a hallucination type thing. Is it one of them?
It's possible that it's the same part of the brain, I guess.
Yeah.
But
to be physically in it as well, I suppose you've got to have some form of conscience to.
Yeah, I think
the earlier one
with Frank, obviously for that to be some sort of mirage, you'd still have to know the buildings, the names, and you know, that kind of stuff. So for him to see those buildings and them to be true,
yeah. See, with Frank's, it was two people, so that's a bit different. Yeah, you know, it's two people.
It's very rare you get a time slip where it's more than one person.
Yeah, it's normally just the one.
You know, there was a famous one in France where two British couples were travelling to, I think it was Italy, I think it was travelling to Italy or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, they passed through France, and on the way they stopped at this B&B and spent the night there. And there was having a bit of laugh and joke about it, because it looked like an old farmhouse, that kind of thing. And it was quite run down. But anyway, it was rustic looking, and it was in the middle of France. It was summertime. It didn't really matter. It didn't even have the glass in the windows. It just had those shutters.
Oh, yeah.
Storm shutters. Anyway, they spent the night there. Next morning, there was surprised just how cheap the room, the food and everything was. I think he only wanted like a couple of francs for it.
All right.
And they're saying, what, that each? And he said, no, just a couple of francs. Yeah. And there's like, just blown away by it. Anyway, they went on to the holiday, and on the way back, they decided to stop there. They actually left the holiday early.
To go stop there
again, yeah, because it was so nice. The people were nice. The food was beautiful. Anyway, they couldn't find it. Went up and down this road and just couldn't find this place. They could find a few buildings in the same location, but they was all broken down and destroyed. Anyway, came back to England. Developed the photographs that they'd taken there, and every single photo that came out was blank.
Right.
So the photos before were okay.
Yeah.
The photos afterwards were okay, but the photos they're taken at this B&B is all blank. Anyway, she rings the other couple up, and she says, you're not going to believe this. All my photos come blank. So she says, well, I haven't got mine developed yet. I'm going to get them tomorrow.
Yeah.
She says, what I'll do is I'll get two copies, and you can have mine.
Yeah.
So, no, that's fine. Anyway, she rings her up the next day. She's not going to believe this. My photos from that place are blank as well. Anyway, did some research into it, and they found out that it used to be a farm next door to the old police station. It was actually bombed during the war and never rebuilt. So, obviously, you're talking back in the 40s now.
Yeah, it's a while ago.
And but this was, I think it was the 90s that they went through there.
Hmm.
But, you know, again, they had interaction with the people. They ate the food.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you've got a full stomach, it's real, don't you? You know, when you've had good food.
So
I know that.
Indeed, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how to explain this. I told a story on one of the previous shows about my granddad who actually had a time slip as well. And, I mean, I've had missing time.
Yeah.
On more than one occasion, but I think I told you recently about one that happened to me when I was on the drive home.
Yeah.
So I'm driving home, it's late at night, and I should have been arriving home at 11:30 at night. And so I'm driving along. Anyway, there was I was coming up to the junction, and I was like 4 miles to go to my junction, right?
Yep, yep.
And this is to the M18, I think it was at the time. So I'm going along, 4 miles to go, look at the old sat-nav, 2 miles to go, look at the sat-nav, 1 mile to go. And then next time I look at it, it's 40 miles to go.
Yep.
Right? So I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. I was a mile away from it, now it's saying 14 miles. So what I realised is that I completely missed that junction. I thought I'd missed that junction, so I thought maybe I'd nodded off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and because it was late at night, maybe I nodded off. Anyway, so I carry on going, and I'm heading towards Selby, which is the opposite direction.
All right, okay.
So as I was going, Selby was behind me, where I was going to turn off here. It's behind me. But now I've done a complete 180, and I'm heading on the opposite side of the carriageway, but I'm heading back towards Selby.
Right.
And then I've swung round there, then come back, you know, back along the same route that I was just on and come off at that junction again. But it put an hour on my journey. So when I saw it was 1 mile to go, bang, and then it's 14 miles to go. And I'm thinking, well, I've must have missed a junction. I'm going to turn around here, come back, and then come round. But I was already on the other side going towards Selby. So I'd probably done about, what's that, got to be 15 mile?
Yeah, easily.
There, turn around, back.
Turn around and back, yeah.
So I don't know. All I know is I was on this side of the carriageway. I missed my junction, and then next thing I know, I'm on the other side of the carriageway.
Well, you delivery drivers.
Well, at least I still am a delivery driver.
Bigger and better things.
Yeah. So,
well, I've got one for us. So we've had Noah and his ark. We've had that one, haven't we, before?
I've heard of him.
We've covered that, Noah, 2B2 and all that. But now we've got Noah.
Well, it was actually, I think it was Atrahasis.
Oh, well, yeah.
And just his goats.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah. not two elephants, two fleas. Two of his, two...
Just two
goats. I mean, why would
goats.
He put two mosquitoes on there? What day for?
Well, probably be squished anyway.
I think in them days, I think mammoths were still knocking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have put two of them on.
Yeah, bombing arc. Wouldn't need you. Anyhow, so we've had Noah and his ark.
Yeah,
now
allegedly.
We've got, allegedly. Right. And now we've got Noah, the time traveller.
Oh, man.
Or is he a time waster? So, got a bit of a story. It's, found it on the Sun.
Yeah,
so,
time waster.
Yeah. Take it with a pinch of salt if it's off the Sun. I don't believe him too much. But, hey, it's a good one. Here we go. So, time wasters. These time travellers say they have been to the future, and here's their proof. Noah claims he's a professional time traveller who is stranded in 2019, 11 years away from the year he belongs in, 2030. Professional time traveller. I don't think I've heard that saying before.
No.
A professional time traveller.
You know, you get these people who say the super soldiers, and they've been to Mars through some sort of time machine, don't you? But they say the soldiers. They don't say that this was their profession.
Well, yeah.
He couldn't be that professional if he's got stranded, couldn't he?
Well, the nervous young man is terrified that if he's not careful, he'll bump into the past version of himself and cause a paradox, which
Ooh.
Could rip the universe to shreds.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
That's not very professional.
Don't want that, do we? No, it's not very professional, is it? Noah's not his real name. Oh, no. And he insists on blurring out his face and distorting his voice to hide from the assassins who could offer him as a punishment for revealing the truth.
Well, surely if he's cocked up, like, if this... Right, carry on with your story.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, last year, he even claimed to have passed a lie detector test, insisting that he's a real deal and not a sci-fi fantasist.
Fantasist.
Well, one of the two. My nature time is in the year 2030, he explains to the Sun. That is the year all my family and friends are in. Well, in at home, who had just popped out for a year or two.
We still, I mean, you're only talking 10 years difference. I mean, surely he knows some of these people.
He know him now,
yeah so
but
he could bump into him now, can he?
He could bump into, but he's probably just trying to keep his distance from it. Anyhow, simply put, I was fired from my job, familiar, during a mission in the year 2017. Oh, mine was a bit late, I suppose. Which is why I'm now stuck in 2019. His story is more than a touch of Back to the Future to it. and the skeptics have even suggested that the classic 1985 flick could have inspired his claims. Okay, so he's seen the film.
Well.
But I can't see it. Not
loosely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Noah says he was a high school student when he learned from government agents that time travel was more than just science fiction. Supposedly, he was recruited into a top secret program.
Oh, why didn't you give us a name of it?
That'd have been good. Anyhow, and he went on to forge a successful career as a full-time traveller based in 2030.
So we've got all this to come by the sounds of it.
Now he's become stranded in the wrong year. While he says he does have a family in 2019, they wouldn't know or recognise the future version of himself, and meeting them could spark a chain reaction which could change the course of the future or destroy time itself. Well, we don't want that. Anyhow, there's a picture here, and I'll put it up on the Hangout, of an X-ray of Noah's hand, which shows a device in his hand that helps him to time travel.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm looking at it now, and it looks like one of them implants. Yeah.
Alien implant.
Implants, yeah. So a past version
of it's in his wrist.
It's in his wrist, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, you see them on most things on sci-fi. They press something on the watch or something. You know, it's always to do with the wrist or something like that. Anyhow, a past version of myself exists right now, and he is in middle school currently. Noah says. I have to stay far away from him to avoid causing a paradox.
Well, why didn't he beam back to Japan or something?
He's stranded, though, isn't he? He's stranded.
Yeah, but when he came back?
Oh, yeah, I suppose he could have took a flight over there, I suppose.
Hmm.
I suppose so. Because the results of that could be profound, by what I understand. Noah reckons he can prove he's telling the truth with an X-ray, which he says shows a device in his hand which helps him skip between time periods.
Well, I can prove he's talking out his ass.
Yeah, it don't prove out, yeah. Really, but... Oh, yeah. Is he? I'll find out if he's from Liverpool. he tells us it was implanted before I went back into time via surgical procedure, and it was painless. And that device actually helps in transporting all the atoms within my body. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know all the details.
Well, if I was going to be a professional time traveller, I'd want to know how it worked.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure you don't rock up and say, at the job centre, want anyone for time travel? Yep, okay. You just insert this into your wrist.
Yeah. along with the X-ray picture, I'll put up on it.
Don't tell me any of that boring information. I just I'll see put, where you go. Yeah.
I'll put a picture of here. So
you could make some shit up though, couldn't you? At least.
Well, yeah.
Just say, well, it works by the.
Well, he's got something coming. He's got something coming. So I'll put a picture of his face up, and it is distorted, and it says, "No, his face isn't distorted as a result of time travel. It's because he's chosen to stay anonymous."
That would be funny though, wouldn't it? He's like,
if he's come back and he's got pixelated faces.
You know the Philadelphia experiment where they're meant to have reanimated the ship, and some of the crew were in the wall, like partially embedded in the wall.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if he'd come back and he had like a, I don't know, like a lamppost like sticking out, like molded into him.
He did a lamppost on his way back through. So Noah's story
then I'd believe him.
May sound insane. His message to the many doubters out there is simply, I don't blame you. But he's far from alone in making outlandish claims about time travel. Well, here we go. Over on YouTube, he's just a drop in the ocean of self-described time travellers, all with different stories to tell of their own proof to share with the world. Like Noah, many choose to appear anonymously, fearing repercussions from fellow time benders who'd rather their secrets remain under wraps. We all want to know him.
Time benders.
Well, that's what it says, time benders. Anyhow, speaking to interviewers at an undisclosed location, and with his voice disguised, one viral clip shows a man whip a smudged, slightly crumpled photo out from his pocket in his blue jacket. So, if one of it is another one that they've kind of conjured up
Does
together.
Does he make any predictions?
Well, this is where we go into it. This is a photo from the year 6000, he says.
I don't know if you can see it, but there's...
6,000.
6,000.
I thought he came from 2030.
This is someone else now. Oh, this is
time travel.
This is, yeah. He knows of Noah, though.
They should get together, shouldn't they? And then maybe they can work out how to get back.
You may notice that the actual picture itself is a little distorted. Well, yeah, you're not kidding.
It looks like photos in the 6,000.
I'm just going to show you it now. It looks like a bit of like a oil, you know, like them watercolours that you used to use as a kid. It looks like a bit of a watercolour Atlantis type picture, type thing.
Like out of a dinosaur book or something.
Well, it is saying, you may notice that the actual picture itself is a little distorted. That is because in the time travel process, pictures tend to get distorted. Well, so do faces, according to Noah, as well as many other things. Some people actually have parts of their body distorted, by the time travel process.
Well, they'd be easy to spot then, wouldn't they?
Massively, if you've got a big brick head or something like that. you're gonna spot them from a mile off. If a conveniently distorted photo isn't convincing enough to win you over, the man also has a warning of what lies ahead. Artificial intelligence will be able to predict things with 100% accuracy. And in the year 6000, we upload our brains to computers so we can live forever, he says.
Why didn't he upload his then?
Well, this is... They don't want me to tell you this. A Greek man also...
Whoa. I don't get this, because if he's gone back, right, unless they have the technology to get back, everyone he knows is dead.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So what's he worrying about? It's not like... The only way they're going to do it is if they come back in time themselves.
But I think he's more worried about the time traveler assassins.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because they can follow you everywhere. They're everywhere with you. Anyhow, so he says, they don't want me to tell you this.
Couldn't they just put like that thing that's in his wrist? Couldn't they just explode it?
Why didn't you just pull it out?
Get arrested for that.
You'd have thought that if it doesn't say where the chap Noah's actually from, but if he's in America, the blooming CIA, FBI, they're going to get hold of you, they're going to rip it out of you out of there. Area 51, they'll take you down there and they'll rip it out of you. Anyhow, a Greek man, also hiding his true identity, claims in another video that he spent 2 days in the year 3207 after being shot forward in time as part of a top secret military program. The buildings were absolutely enormous, he says. Cars were flying and was a strange coloured grass. Well, we get that already. Not green, but deep purple. That's a bit like, is it rapeseed? That's purple. Yeah. Is it purple? Yeah. Aliens, ordinary people, big animals and robots were walking together. So is it the real deal or is it the Back to the Future fantasies? But not all YouTubers, time traveler community insists on remaining anonymous. In one popular clip, we're introduced to Alexander Smith, an American in a crumpled suit which looks like he just came out of a suitcase. It may well have. But he's not just got back from a business trip. He's home after a jaunt in the year 2118, and he says he can prove it. Handshaking, the wacky character holds up a smudged photograph which appears to show a high-rise city centre, although it's difficult to tell. The picture was taken in the year 2118, he says, without a flash of humour or self-doubt. In the same clip, he tells us what threats we face in the future, where he says he was sent as part of the no longer top secret program, which made him one of the humanity's first ever time travellers. I suppose I'm going to have a bit of a collection of pictures putting up on the Hangout here. There's another picture of him here. There's a danger of artificial intelligence taking over, he warns, but the number one threat to humanity, as we all know it, is global warming. Well, I suppose if... Yeah, 6,000. We know it's not going to happen for a while. Thousands more like Alexander have cropped up on YouTube, the natural home for eccentric characters and conspiracy buffs. No doubt, inspired by films like Back to the Future, these people, mostly men, are adamant that they don't belong in 2019, often breaking their supposed cover to warn us about the dangers lying ahead. So, Yeah, there's a link up here to a video of him showing off his evidence of his pictures and his, yeah. You know, this guy here, Alexander, he's only got 500,000 views. He's not as popular as Noah, who's at 920,000, so...
I think my problem with all this, unless they... Because there were no things, right, that was going to happen in the future. It's like, you know, I don't know if he's a football fan, say, but if most football fans would be able to tell you, say, who won the last World Cup.
Yeah.
Right? So if he's... Or who was president, or who... You know what I mean? This kind
of
thing.
Tell him something of the past. Ask him something of the past, and then ask him something of the future.
If he said, like, oh, there was a real shock result, and... I don't know, like Japan won the next World Cup or something. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And then that came true.
Well,
then I'd be like, well, that's really interesting.
Because there's another story that I don't want to ruin it too much, but there is one about the octopus, wasn't there? But there was also another one about the... Do you not know about that one?
Octopus.
The octopus.
Time-travelling octopus.
Well, they don't know, but he was very good at predictions.
Oh, the octopus was?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've seen... Yeah, they ate him though, didn't they?
Did they eat him?
I think they ate him.
Or did he die?
No, I think they ate him in the end.
They ate him in the end.
He wasn't a pet, was he? He was a...
No. Yeah. He was in a tank.
He was in a restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, but...
yeah, he predicted something. When he got it wrong, he ate him.
When he got it wrong. Oh, right.
Yeah, no, just at the end of the World Cup, yeah, because he was predicting the right results, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they give him two balls, basically. Who's going to win, England or Germany? And he obviously picked Germany and whatever. And he got it right with an alarming amount of accuracy. But yeah, at the end of the World Cup, they ate him. Yeah. So he won't be predicting anything going forward.
Yeah, so that one's, you know, there's three time travellers there that, I mean, they supposedly say they've got evidence of it. I mean...
See, my problem with the time travelling thing, I mean, where do you stand on it as an actual possibility?
Me, personally, I think it... I believe in it.
Hmm. Well, I think
not based on these stories, no. But
I think science allows for it. Okay, so I'm not saying that it's not possible.
I mean, whilst I was researching this, I did find one story. I haven't got it on me, but I did find one story where we're constantly living in the future. Not only they say that the present's a present, but it's not actually present now as I speak these words. But they say it's all future. So they say that. You're always predicting the future because you know what you're going to do next. You know what you're going to say next, a second ahead of what you're going to do. They say the difference in it. Mm. They say that's potentially time traveling because you know what you're doing and then you're putting the actions into it.
No, I think when we're talking about speech or whatever, yeah, obviously because you've got to formulate the words. But if I was to throw a ball at you, you wouldn't have to think about blocking it.
Well, I don't know. It's still a brain process,
yeah,
isn't it?
But it's instant, isn't it?
No, I'm going to have to disagree with that.
It's
one.
Almost instant.
That's the difference, though, isn't it? It's instant and it's almost instant.
Yeah, well, if I throw a ball at you, before you think, I need to put my hand up here, your hand's going to be doing it. So that's like that's obviously a brain function that's just happening without any like conscious thought going into it, subconscious probably. But speech, I think, is a conscious thing. So I think that's. I think we're two different. I think so. Subconscious, I think, is it's like when you're driving a car, you don't have to think about pressing the clutch or.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just do don't you?
I don't believe in present time anyway, because I think you can't be always present in time unless you stop it. Unless we're frozen, that's present time frozen right there and then, because you're always talking.
Well, past time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you're always talking into the future, but once it's been, it's gone. Yeah. You can't stop time and make it present.
But that's not travelling, is it? That's just the natural order of things.
I don't know. They're saying that the future, the speaking and the thinking is in the future.
Who's saying Noah?
No, not Noah, no. This was a science website I was on.
No, right, that's all right. I'm not taking any science lessons.
No, I'm not listening to Noah.
What's he doing now for a living?
I don't know. It doesn't say a lot about him because obviously he's like a top secret. A professional time traveler. So
who didn't know how it worked?
Who didn't know?
Didn't know how to get back?
And he got sacked 2 years ago. So
yeah. So yeah. I mean, if that's the sort of caliber of person that they're actually sending back in time travel machines, then we've got to worry about the future.
Yeah, we have.
But at least we know climate change doesn't happen for another 4,000 years.
Yeah, another 4,000 years. Yeah.
So keep burning.
That Greta, she'll be dead by
just
then.
Keep burning carbon.
Keep on.
Don't worry about it.
Sorry to any, what is it, ecologists or out like
that. I just don't. See, the problem with time travel, which I've always had, is. And he's talking about the paradox there, where if he sees himself and, you know, some sort of interdimensional breach will happen and the universe will implode. If you could go back into, back, then it would have already happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's already happened because you're going back, so it's already happened. So I just don't see the point in it.
See, I've always thought, why can't time travellers go... I do know why, but so far back where they can't make, like, just restart everything. Because I know they'll die, they'll go and everything. Why can't they restart everything? Press, you know, go back. Or is it that dramatic that, like it says, it will destroy the whole universe? There surely must be some form of a reset button. That's what I think.
All right. Well, I mean, the universe came into existence out of nothing. So obviously there could be... something that would, like I say, reset it.
But like we also say, that then will go...
You can't rule it out.
No, you can't rule it out. But then it'll go against the scientists and say, well, we was just an anomaly on the scale anyway. The way the Earth was created. So if we, you know, if it might be one of them things. You press a randomer button 10 times, one of them produces the Earth. You know, you're not necessarily going to have another Earth again, so... Or a solar system or anything. But...
Well, I think that it's more prevalent than not. Maybe. I think life is pervasive. I think I'm not of the opinion that life's formed on this planet.
Okay.
I go along with the idea that life formed on somewhere else and then was spread across the universe.
Well, yeah, it's like I put that picture up, didn't I? About 6 months ago of that we're the aliens. We're the ones that invaded. But that's a different topic anyway. Do you have another?
I've got another two, yeah.
Another two.
One's quite a long one, so I might just do that straight on. Should I do it now or do it on Patreon? Or
let's get it on now, yeah. Yep. Yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Don't say we don't treat you, listeners.
Yeah. I've actually got a really, really good story sent in by a listener, which I think I will put onto Patreon. It's just being voiced up as we speak. It's fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. I love this time travelling stuff. I love it. I think that I'm not talking our lifetime, but there will be like a time. I like it, you know, Doctor Who, where all the time travellers come together and they've got their own world. I can't remember what they call it, but they've got their own world, and I reckon there is another place out there just for them. Star Trek and all
that. Right, this is the story of a guy called Alan Gammon.
Okay? Alan Gammon.
And he was a bus driver in Sevenoaks.
Bessel
Green, which is Kent, just outside London, basically, in England. Okay, so I'll read this verbatim. Obviously, feel free to interject at any point. Okay, so he starts by saying it was a warm August evening, and he was on the late bus run, and he worked for London and County Bus Services from Reigate to Sevenoaks. At the time, this was a new route, only having been running since the spring of 1994. This is 96.
Right, yeah.
The route ran from Reigate to Westerham in Kent, following the A25 to Sevenoaks. It went on to serve a few places around Sevenoaks before returning to Reigate just after midnight. Not many people used the bus, but to few, it was an essential service.
Yeah.
Every night, a young girl used to arrive at Sevenoaks bus station in the town centre, around 11:20, in time to board the bus for 11:28, departure. She would get off another bus with her boyfriend, have a kiss and a short chat, and then board my bus. She was there almost every night without fail, and travelled to her home, a small village called Bessel Green. On the evening of the 14th of August 1996, she didn't turn up.
Oh, she's just gone home with him this time.
Yeah, well, she might have got lucky. Or he did. A rubber bus came and went, which was my signal to go. Disappointed, He doesn't say that. Right, when I drove out the bus station, I turned onto High Street. On my right, I noticed a bright star shining in the night sky. The star seemed to be keeping up with me and my movements along the route of out of the town. When I arrived at a small roundabout at Sunridge, the star was directly in front of me. After turning left, the star, again, should have been on my right, just behind me.
Yeah.
So if you're turning left...
It's going to be following you on your right side,
But it wasn't. It was straight ahead. As I drove along the road, it disappeared totally from sight. I progressed along the A25 in total darkness, no street lights or traffic passing the other way. I headed towards Bessel Green. I saw what appeared to be a bright star very low. In fact, it appeared to be almost road level.
Not a lamppost, Dan.
No. That's just Andy. This was confirmed as I drove nearer and nearer. It became larger and larger until I drove into it. As I entered the light, the road surface changed. The bus rocked from side to side with the sound of a rough flint-type road on the tyres.
Oh, yeah.
So this would be like stone or shingle sort of material. I immediately slowed down to a stop on the side of the road. My near-side front wheel rested in a pothole directly outside the King's Head public house. The pub didn't look right. It looked dowry, beige, brown in colour, and appeared to be floodlit. I swiftly guessed a film crew was shooting a film and straight away looked around to see if I could see others. There was no one there. The cottage in the village had dim candlelight shining in some of the windows. I saw in the background what appeared to be a large church, again with candlelight shining from the window. I heard the clip-clop of horse hooves and saw a horse and cart slowly walking towards the pub. The cart had people sitting in it, facing each other on some sort of wooden bench. They were laughing between themselves and seemed very happy. The ladies wore flat caps and white blouses. The men wore jackets, white shirts and ordinary trousers. The colour and material for the jackets and flat caps were the same colour, a brownish-green material that looked like it might have been in some sort of tweed. They appeared to be people who may have worked on a farm, ending the day in the pub after a hard day's work.
Yeah, as you do.
As you do. When the car pulled up, the driver stepped down and walked around to the back to help the ladies off this short ladder. They were still giggling, and one by one they went into the pub. One lady was sitting in the car while the others were getting off, and she looked straight at me.
Ooh.
But didn't seem to notice him.
All right.
The door to the pub was ajar, and as they pushed through it, they seemed to go over what could have been a wooden beam step, which ran along the bottom of the door. I could hear the door slam back after each person had gone through it. This made me think the door was kept closed by a spring. While this was going on, I decided I'd get a better view, and I opened the bus door to go outside. A voice in my mind said, "If you go outside, you won't come back."
Oh, it was the alien, was it?
Just look and see. I looked to my right and the sun was just setting across the fields. I turned my head to look at the pub and a voice said, "You've seen enough. It's time to go." I put the bus in gear and slowly drove off the Flint Road. It seemed to hit a small step and then the bus went onto tarmac into the total darkness again. The running time for that route was tight and I knew without looking at my watch I was running very late. Excited, I wanted to tell someone what I'd seen. I completed the route, and as I approached Reigate Bus Garage, a little voice in my head said again, "Don't tell anyone." When I looked at my watch to check the time, it was early. I clocked off and went home. The next day, inquisitively, I went to visit the pub, bought a pint of beer and looked around. A few of the regulars were there, and I listened to them chatting. You would think that one of them might have witnessed something strange that night, and maybe this was a talking point of the village. But I heard no reference whatsoever. The following week, I bought a local newspaper to see if anyone had written in. But no one had. It was then I realised I was the only one who'd seen it. But what was it? What really happened on that warm summer's evening?
I kept my silence on whatever happened that night for more than 5 years, and never told anyone, not even my family. Some years later, I read something in a newspaper about ley lines, which, you know, their significance along the A25.
Yep.
And I began to believe that what I saw was a build-up of energy from a ley line. In 2006, I revisited the pub with a friend who I'd let in on a story. We asked ourselves questions. One was, why could I see the pub if there was a tree between me and the line of view? So it's actually when he's parked up the bus.
Yep.
He said, this is where I parked the bus up, and he showed his mate, and between him and the pub, there was actually trees.
Oh, and not there now.
Yeah, you know, like one of his planted areas.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but obviously at the time when this happened on that evening, he could see the bus. He could see the pub from the
clear
bus.
Through, yeah.
So then trees weren't there. So that gives you some sort of time scale, because obviously it takes a long
2 time.
2 years,
it's not going to, yeah.
It's a long time for a tree, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess if you could see candlelight, and I sort of putting it back way back in the day anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The answer obviously was the tree wasn't planted when on that evening that he was there. Why could I see the sun setting across the fields? Because there was houses in the way.
Yeah.
So again, the houses weren't built. It seems that those houses were built after the war. Okay. How was it that the lady looked at me but didn't see me? He believes it was because he wasn't born and the bus hadn't been made. So to her, it was invisible.
Oh, she was off a trotter from that, drinking in the pub.
Why wasn't I late back to the bus garage? It's almost as if time had stopped for those few minutes. What was the significance of the star that seemed to be tracking the bus? Was there a connection or just a coincidence? No one knows, but all I can say is experience is one of the most remarkable things that I've ever seen. Well, that's an understatement, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the significance of the star was. That makes me almost think it was like, because when I see this, when he's driving along, the star's following him kind of thing, then it goes and it reappears. That seems to me, that sort of giving me the old alien vibe there.
Yeah.
But then why aliens were taking back... Yeah.
The aliens have directed him to a pub where a nice communal village just having a good drink on a Friday night.
Yeah. Why? Thinking back to whatever it was, 1900s. Say 1910, I don't know. I mean, candlelight.
And then E.T. speaks to him in his head.
Was it E.T.? You know what I mean?
It's time for you to go home. You've seen too much. Don't tell anyone.
But when he was going to get out of the bus and it said, don't get out, otherwise you have to stay here kind of thing. I mean, what's all that about? And do people in that situation, because you had another example earlier on with Frank, who found himself in that situation, but he was in it.
Yeah.
So there was no bus for him to get out or anything like that. And he went in the shop, came back out of the shop. There's been examples of people literally just walking out of a shop and it's like a cobbled street.
Yeah.
And they're going, what the fuck? And they're going back in the, like out of shop. They just walk back in the shop and maybe told people and everyone's going outside and it's back to the modern day.
Another time mirage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
But if that's just in your brain though, if that's just your brain conjuring up this, I mean that's...
It's a lot of detail though, and if you don't know about that detail, it's hard to think about something you don't know about.
What you was talking about earlier, the mirage, when you're in the desert or, you know, and you get that heat haze.
Yeah.
You know, you can see shapes. Yeah, I can understand how people could see, you know, an oasis.
Yeah. Oh, instance. Yeah. Yeah, easily.
Because you get that shimmering.
Yeah.
It almost looks like
think it's water. Yeah. You think it's water.
And in the desert, I mean...
You do on your roads. It's like your roads. On a very hot day, you can just see the lines, can't you? And you do think, sometimes you look at it and you think, oh, it looks a bit wet over. You come to it, it's dry, you know, but it's steaming hot. It's that hot.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's to do with the temperature.
I thought you were
going
to say you drive along and see camels and... just driving down the M62 and just seeing this desert.
On top of all the moors and that around there, yeah.
Actually, when I was in Chesley Street up in Sunderland there, I drove around a corner, there was a camel there.
Right.
It escaped from, it was like a circus. Camel had... I just come around the corner, fucking miles of camel stood in the road.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it, that bastard.
No, you wouldn't, no. You definitely... You'd get the hump.
Hump. Oh, fuck's sake.
Didn't.
Yeah, he's here all week.
By request.
What do you... I mean, what's the conclusion to all this? Obviously, for me, I think they do happen because there's so much. I know it's all anecdotal evidence, but there's so many stories going back years that this does happen. And at random as well. It's not like someone was, I was tinkering in the lab, and then all of a sudden I was back in, you know what I mean? It's not like an experiment that's gone wrong. It's just the...
For the similarities between them, it's very believable. It's when you get into the fine detail about these people's accounts that they never knew about before, and if you know these fine details are correct to how it was previously, then I think you've got to kind of match the two correlations together and think, hey, we're onto something here.
Yeah. Because in that case of Frank, where he's saying that this shop was called Cripps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How would you know that?
Exactly.
You know, it's not like a generic shop that's in every town, is it? Where you could you know, if I said, well, that used to be Argos or Woolworths or whatever.
Yeah.
Then yeah, that's.
Oh, I wish Woolworths would come back. Love Woolworths.
Hey, if Woolworths was that fucking good, right, it wouldn't have gone under, would it?
Yeah, but it was all about the pick and mix. They should have just opened as a sweet store.
That was the problem, wasn't it?
Yeah,
just probably lost millions in pick and mix.
Just, I mean, yeah, every scoop that went in my bag, I always took a few out.
That pick and mix was like what you call a lost leader, just to get people in.
It was, but it was a good pick and mix.
But the problem was I didn't buy anything else when it was in there.
It was just pick and mix all day. What do you think about it? What's your view on it?
Like I say, I think there's enough anecdotal evidence here where it seems to be a real phenomenon. What's going on or why, I don't know. But, you know, I think the universe is just strange at times. But I think it's a stretch. I'll give you that. But I do think this is why people go missing from time to time.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people who find themselves in this situation and just freak out. You know, maybe they start running or...
Maybe.
I've got another story, which I'll do on the Patreon episode, but he has a mobile phone with him.
Okay.
Which is interesting. For numerous reasons, and like I say, I'll mention that on the Patreon show, but because I don't want to, you know, go on too long here, but I just think, maybe people go missing. This is maybe why some people go missing.
Well, I'm just going to end on these few ones that I've got, and I've previously mentioned them in other shows, but not directly, you know, linked to this one. But and it's The Simpsons.
Oh,
we've all heard of The Simpsons, us in America, you know, and in the UK.
The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's on Sky. It's on all the and whatever channels I've got in America. It's on, and people know about them. And the majority of them are, you know, predictions in America. You know, it's American, I think it's an American production, I think, isn't it?
Yeah,
And Matt Groening and all that's produced them all. They've come up with some, well, let's just say, very believable time-travelling predictions.
Yeah, I hear this. It's almost like they, you know, some people think that they get stuff that accurate that maybe they're in the know.
Yeah.
To the New World Order.
So, The Simpsons itself, it's over, I think, 30 years now it's been running. The series,
I don't watch it anymore, to be honest.
You don't watch it?
No.
I haven't seen any of the newer ones. You know,
I used to watch it religiously. And then I think it was around the time, say, South Park came out.
Yeah.
I started watching South Park and then just never went back to The Simpsons after that.
So...
Must be a direct link there.
One of the shows.
I don't watch South Park either now, but.
Nah, I've passed that. Anyhow, one of the show's original writers.
Bit of Family Guy.
Al Jean is one of the show's original writers, and it's a showrunner since 1998. Episodes of The Simpsons always air a year after they're produced. So, you know, there's at least a year between the gap that they're shown on TV. And one of the big things was one of the weirdest predictions.
You reckon that's true? Like they hold them for a year?
I don't think it's a case of holding them. I think you've got to think about... I mean, it's like making shows and things like that. Not only, you know, podcasts, but TV shows. It's all right. Your regular EastEnders and Coronation Street, they can turn around in 2 days.
Yeah, because we're recording this in May.
Well, you're in your own time-lapse there, then.
But it seems a long time, doesn't it?
It's a long time, but if you think about it...
I know they've got Simpsons, to have some in you know...
It was always on Monday to Friday at say, I think it was 6 o'clock, I think it was. Always on, for us, it was Channel 4. So it was on every single day. So there is a lot to go into it. And I suppose there is a lot to do with the animation side of it. Hence why we probably don't get it all done in a day.
Yeah, I imagine, the script's done and then they have to...
And so there's a lot of animating in it, isn't there, really?
Anyway, Feast is a year.
But we'll go with a year. So, I mean, let's go with that.
Which
anyway.
Makes these predictions... Even more intriguing than if
they're think about this one. So this is one that I thought was quite weird, as well as many others out there. This was predicted in 1997, and the event that we all know of 9/11 happened in 2001. So there's 4 years difference here. So in the City of New York versus Homer Simpson episode, there was a moment that alluded to the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City, and not even Mr. Gene could explain it. There is a frame where there's a brochure that says New York at $9 a day. Well, it says $9, and behind the nine, there's the two Twin Towers. So they look like, you know, 9/11. Kind of a, you know... You look at it, and I'll show you the picture there.
Yeah.
I'll pop it up on the Hangout as well. So it looks like 9/11. And that's... Although the two towers itself, you know, they do look like an 11 itself. But the $9 was it put there by coincidence. So in 2010, Bill Oakley, an executive producer on the show at the time, told the New York Observer, $9 was picked as a comically cheap fare, he said. And I will grant it that it's very eerie, given that it's the only episode of any series that has ever had an entire act of a World Trade Center on it. So out of all the other magazines that they've shown, this is the only one that they've put $9 on, and the two Twin Towers.
To be on it. Yeah.
So the show's unintended connection to 9/11 is far from the only one on television. The pilot episode of A Lone Gunman, a short-lived spin-off of The X-Files that aired 6 months before September 11, included a plot where a hijacked plane aimed at the World Trade Center. The pilots regain control and miss the towers just moments before colliding. Yeah. So it's not just The Simpsons. You know, there's other things out there that have not predicted it. So they haven't predicted it, but it's a very strong connection.
It's like King Kong, though, isn't it? Destroying the Empire State Building, I mean. That's predicted, I guess. If that happens, then you're going to say, whoa, we had films about that.
Well, I suppose you would say it, but can you see it being likely?
No.
No.
Well, that don't mean people won't make a film about it.
No, it don't mean they won't make a film about it.
People make films about all sorts of things that, you know, potentially could come true, don't they?
So the next one that they went on to with, a big one in America, is the Super Bowl. So there's different Super Bowls that happen.
Yep.
They were predicted. Now this one, they were predicted in 1992, 1993, and 1994. So these are the exact dates that they're predicting Super Bowls won by specific
teams.
And they happened on 1992, 1993, and 1994. Again, this is a year prior
to... Are they predicting every year, though, and they've just got
they've only gone for three on this.
So they've only predicted three, and they're bang on right.
And
they didn't predict any others that were wrong.
Just them three.
But they didn't predict any others that were wrong.
Maybe in future episodes, but not in these particular ones that they've put into one episode. Bearing in mind, this is one episode. So the one in 1994 was actually done in 1991. Type thing. So they've gone through them and they've predicted in the Lease of a Greek episode, which first aired in 1992. So again, it was made in 91. Homer and Lisa bond over sports and sports gambling. Lisa has discovered a knack for predicting football winners, which Homer happily cashes in on. Lisa tells Homer that if the Washington Redskins defeat Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl, she would still love him. And if they don't, she won't. So Washington wins, and all is well between them. 3 days after the episode aired, Washington beat Buffalo's 37-24. So it did happen, you know, and that's what's that, 3 days, sorry, 3 days after, yeah, 3 days after the episode aired, the Washingtons beat the Buffaloes.
But the episode was recorded a year prior.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, for them to get the right teams and the right outcome, yeah, it's a coincidence.
So it was three of them, yeah. You know, it's three Super Bowls. The next one is what we call the grey area.
Maybe they've got a psychic working on The Simpsons.
Or a time traveller.
Maybe, I mean, the scriptwriter's psychic.
Been, well, this, no, this is a thing. There's been a lot of...
maybe it's Noah.
There's been... Well, yeah. There's been a lot of talk about Matt Groening being a time traveller. There's been talk about him before. Yeah. You know, he's writing this stuff and that, yeah. And people are saying he's a time traveller. There's been a fair whack of stuff.
Well, I think that's case closed for me.
Anyhow, the grey area. So Disney acquires 21st Century Fox. The most recent Simpsons prediction to come true was Disney's $52 billion deal for 21st Century Fox, which, you know, it happened in a few years ago, 2017. But at the time, it was 20th Century Fox for when it was aired in... it was 20th Century Fox when it was predicted. Mm. So back, you know, it wouldn't have been 21st, so they hadn't predicted it. But what they've put under the 20th Century Fox sign on The Simpsons is a division of Walt Disney Company. So they're now they're predicting that Walt Disney's taken over their thing already. This is now, what we're talking, 19 years after this. So they've predicted it in 1998, it's happened in 2017, that Walt Disney was going to take over Century Fox. Whether it be 20th Century, you know, it goes up, obviously.
But does that not imply, like, maybe someone got the idea to do that from that, though? Because you can't rule that out, can you?
Well, you can't rule it out, but it's also like...
I suppose you can't rule out the fact that it could have been, in the works then anyway. Because sometimes, you know, you'll have a bid that goes in and then maybe it fails.
Someone might,
come back to the drawing board.
Well, it's like football,
isn't it? The circumstance
yeah.
changes down the line and maybe they rung up and said, hey, if you're still interested.
If we bent our football or soccer, if you go look at a player 3 years, you know, you go look at him, you have a look at it, oh, interested in him. 3 years later down the line, you sign him, but someone said, oh, I bet he signs him in 3 years' time.
Yeah.
You can't say he's a time traveller. I see where you're coming from. You can't say he's a time traveller.
You do it all the time, don't you?
You do it all the time.
You see players now and you think, oh, he's tailor-made for, say, Man City or whatever, and then,
saying,
2 years down the line, they're buying him.
I mean, in 1998, I mean, Walt Disney was coming into it, I suppose, with... I think the biggest one was in 2000. Disney was that Lion King? Was that one of theirs? I think it was one. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, when Disney was coming into its own then, it was when there was getting the characters were coming through. You always had, like, Mickey and Minnie Mouse and all things like that. But this is where they was bringing out the films and things like that. So, for that to be predicted in 1996...
It's not a stretch.
It's not a stretch to think about it, no. But it's also a very good prediction if it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's millions of companies out there, not only Walt Disney, how big they are now, that could have taken them over, sure. I mean, MGM was a big one with all the Bond films at the time. They you know, Bond films go back to, blimey, God knows how long ago, and they're a big company. No, there's always a chance of them taking over 20th Century Fox with the films and that. But, anyhow, so that was that one. The other one, which I think a lot of people are quite known to at the moment, is the Donald Trump. And I mentioned it, I think, on the last episode. This is the one I mentioned about, was the
escalator.
The one on the escalator, and he puts his hand up, and he waves at the people as he's going.
Now,
I've
heard this was actually done after the event.
Yeah. Which leads me on to something else in a minute. But, so there's that one, and he stands before, when he's standing for candidate, at the on the stage, there's a picture. The blue Trump sign on. Oh, this is on The Simpsons, and there's a blue Trump sign, and it's got the red stars around it. And when Trump goes up for election, he's got the blue plaque with the red stars around it. You know, and his actions again with his hand.
Yeah.
Again,
so now, that tells me that was recorded afterwards.
It would, but then the time lapse. Well, it could be. You don't know.
Yeah,
You don't know. Because it's like, I was just going to refer to then the Darren Brown over here is a bit of a,
is a bit of a, he does a bit of everything, doesn't he? Not some mind reading, but predictions and, you know, he tries to get in people's heads. He says it's all down to visions, getting people to vision stuff. He's a,
what do you call it? He's a, well, he's a performer, isn't he? He's a, there's a, what's the fucking word? Not a magician. But yeah, no, he's big in the States as well because he's got Netflix series.
Has he got one in there, has he? But it's, yeah, so he says he does the National Lottery one over here, doesn't he? And it, where he's saying he's doing it live. And he's done other things such as the roulette table where the ball spins around and he predicts what number is going to be. Although he did get a couple wrong, he was one number off the left or right of the actual one it was. So his is more predictions and time travel, but people say that he is a time traveller as well.
But he talks you through exactly how he did what he did.
He does talk you through it. Whether you believe that or not, it's a different matter. And the numbers one, the you know, where he's predicting the lotto numbers, people said that was recorded afterwards anyway.
I don't think he would do it. There'd be no point for him to do it if it was, if it was fake.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted you to say.
That's the
because
whole point.
Why would the Simpsons do that?
You know,
I'm not saying the Simpsons is real life, but they're bringing real life into it.
There's no point, is there?
No.
Because you may as well do something else.
Why would you just make something up? And although the Simpsons side of it is for entertainment, and his, all right, his is entertainment as well, but the, that's more, say the Simpsons is more children-based. It's kind of mixed messages, you know. It does live without people back into 1998 if you've been brought up with it, but it's not aimed as a high, as a adult cartoon as such.
No. I imagine a vast proportion of their audience is adults.
It's adults, but it's not an aimed target
no,
for just
not,
the adults.
It's not going to like offend anybody, is it?
No, no.
It's not like watching an episode of South Park, say.
Well, no.
Well, you know, it's a different audience, isn't it?
I
presume kids still watch that, but...
But, no, so that's...
So what are you saying, then? The Simpsons is predicting the future?
I'm saying...
Or you... You've...
No, I do believe there's something in it.
Right.
And... Matt Groening's quiet. Yeah, he's quieting down at the moment because there's a lot of heat on him from the time travel assassins. So, no, but I think there's some truth to it, that not only does someone that's fed him that information, I'm not saying it's Matt Groening or the Gene, Mr. Gene, I'm saying someone's fed him that information and said, let's do an episode on this, let's do an episode. Oh, why don't we put that on it?
I could see how a government or... let's not say a government, but you know, some organisation say, okay. So I could understand how an organisation might say to, a cartoon in this case, just run with this and just see how people react to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To see how, you know, what the climate would be like.
Yeah.
You know, and then if it was quite hostile, maybe they'd say, well, you know, won't do that.
Yeah.
Use it as some sort of like sounding board.
It's a lot easier for them to put it, it into a cartoon where they don't mean offence.
No, put it in a cartoon, then it's just what the cartoon people
made up. What would come of it? Yeah.
So if you were to do an episode now of The Simpsons where Europe controls the United Kingdom, you know, I mean? See how people react to that.
Yeah.
And then maybe you could say, well, the people didn't like that, maybe we should get out of Europe.
Yeah.
And but anyway, that won't happen. But I mean, I could see how a corporation could do it. McDonald's. Say McDonald's could do an episode of the Simpsons or whatever, where they for a week they just produce vegan food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then everyone, you know, on social media, and everyone would be like saying,
"They'd be uproar.
I'll never use McDonald's again." That kind of thing. Or people might be in favour of it.
Is that what they've done with Greg's then, with a vegan sausage roll?
Yeah. Do you know what? Right, I went in Greg's the other day. It was really fun. I should have took a photograph because the vegan sausage roll was there, and it was like a full tray, and everything else was empty.
Well, every time I look at them vegans,
What's the point?
But they look, I don't know if they're cooking them right for one, because they look anemic. They're all completely just white. And I look at them and I think, these, you know, they don't look safe to eat, let alone, you know, eating them without sausage.
I don't get it.
I don't.
Why would you have something? Say you're vegan and you want a sausage, but you won't eat a sausage, then why do you want a sausage?
Corn.
Yeah, why?
Don't know.
If you want a sausage, eat a sausage. If you don't want a sausage, don't eat it. Eat a cucumber or...
That's just the day we're in today, isn't it, really?
It's not. Why have something that's represent that's meant to be something else that it's not?
No, I'm not sure. There's got to be some mind thing, you know, something behind it.
Yeah, well, obviously.
There always is. There always is.
Well, not for me.
But as for the government side of it, I completely agree. They're always trying stuff out on different companies that...
Yeah,
they're seeing out what the outcome would be.
You see these stories where it's like a source said this, and then they run with a particular story or whatever, just to see what so if it catches light, see if people are interested, and then they go with it later on.
Well, another one just to link in with that was the government was cutting down on plastic, and they're saying paper straws. And with was it McDonald's and KFC? McDonald's and KFC. I think it was. They were saying. Want to trial them out with you. So I think that's one thing that government in this country and maybe in America, you know, they're trialing out stuff through these things that are quite wide to their audience.
Yeah.
I mean, McDonald's probably serves millions of customers a day, so definitely, all over the world. Yeah. So if they introduce that to them, if they introduce that just to them, they're spreading their audience so wide and they're not lifting the finger off really ever.
Yeah. So they don't have to make it like this is a government initiative. They can just say to McDonald's, you trial this, see how it goes. Then if it works, then we'll make it mandatory then. Everyone has to do it.
I mean, them paper straws are absolutely shocking with milkshakes.
Yeah. But I am selling plastic straws. Yeah. So...
Realm of the supernatural.
Go to our shop.
Plastic straws.
I can see how that could work.
Yeah, anyway. I can see that working.
So... Let's just have a look at these reviews before we go.
Yeah, let's have a look at some of the reviews that we've got through. We've got a new Patreon as well, didn't we, come through? Thank you very much for joining us. I think it was last week he come through to us, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll find that in a sec so we can give the name out. Okay, what we got here? So, UK. So we've got a couple of reviews from around the world. We got one from Ireland, which was particularly interesting. It was one that said, not for me. He said, it's like listening to two dim bim men talk about Casper. So, I don't know what episode he was referring to, or just in general, but yeah, that was there. So,
well, at least you didn't mention your Irish accents that you do, or I don't like
that. Yeah, yeah.
They must be good then, Lee.
So, 5 stars there. Look, great show from Elliot MJ. It says, great show. Would definitely be keen on a live event. Cheers from Newton Abbott, Devon, UK.
Nice place, Newton Abbott. Nice place. The next one we've got from King Rico. Amazing show. Can tell lots of work goes into the episodes. Also, great to have open-minded northern hosts. Awesome work. And that's is from Doncaster in the UK.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for that.
Just
and
up
that's,
the road.
That's a 5-star one again, yeah.
Just up the road, that.
It is.
Next one is from Neil586, and it's a 4-star review, and it says, new fave podcast after only 2 episodes. Love it. Nice to hear. Good northern accents. Newly subscribed and about to hit a major binge listen on my stupidly long commutes. Good job, lads. We did have a couple come in from Australia and... Canada, I think that's it. Maybe some in the USA, but a lot of them are star reviews. So just, you know, put people put stars in and fire that off.
We had one on the Patreon come through as well, didn't we? Message.
Well, let me get
us.
Those ones though. When it's just stars and the fire them off, we can't see who it was.
Yeah,
yeah. Right, so we can't say say thank you. Well, all we can say is thank you.
So we can't
give it an individual
reply
name.
As such, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, people leave reviews on the page. Yeah, while I've got everybody here, if you go across to the website, RealmOfTheSupernaturalPodcast.com, you can sign up for our new newsletter, which we're hoping to send out once a month. It will have different things on it. This particular one that's just sent out, the December one, is talks about Secret Santa episodes.
Yeah.
And that shows you how to get them if you're interested. So that's another episode, a stocking filler, shall I say?
Yeah.
but there's going to be various different things on there. We're going to put like little quizzes on and everything like that.
Yeah.
We're also including videos to some of the episodes we do.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Chrome was an episode that we did for Patreon, and we put a video up of it moving and stuff like that, didn't we? So that's the sort of thing you're going to get in the newsletter. So if you go across, it doesn't cost you anything, just go across the website and you'll see a pop-up box at the top.
Yep.
Or there's a subscribe at the bottom, I think, as well. So either or, doesn't matter.
Click on it, enter your details, wham, straight off to you.
Yeah. Like I say, I've been sent a really interesting story as well, which is going to be... out. So we've got this new Patreon.
Yep, Amanda. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Yep. What else have we got anymore?
We got some messages back from the Patreons as well, because I've sent out a bit of a thank you letter to them and just seeing how they all are, and now we've got a bit of a few messages back from them. It's always good to hear from you guys as well.
Yeah, I tried to log into Podbean the other day because I got a message on there, but it's difficult. Because when we host for a different company, it's difficult to actually log on to Podbean.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if you leave messages on there, you're probably better off emailing us.
Yeah.
Or
wait for a while, yeah, until we get...
Because I just can't get on it to reply.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Yeah, so we've also got a Christmas show coming up, haven't we, Lee?
Mm-hmm. The Secret Santa.
Secret Santa, which... we're going to be releasing... when we're going to release that one? It's going to be fairly late on in December, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be Christmas time. Obviously, you're away, aren't you, in January?
Yeah.
So hopefully before you go away.
Yeah.
A bit of plan.
Maybe as a 27th, 28th of December sort of time, around then. Just after Christmas, because we know you'll
all
be...
Might even do it as a video as well.
Yeah, we could do, yeah.
Yeah, and then we could put the video up there as well.
Well, so I don't know, my tash ain't growing very quick at the moment.
Well, people who want to watch it can watch it, people who want to listen to it can listen to it. I just think with it being on the website, we could do it as a video, it's not a problem.
Yeah, we could do, yeah.
But essentially what we're going to do there, the Secret Santa, again, if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get this information, but anyone that's, obviously Patreons will get that anyway. It's sort of included in
Yes, it is included in
their thing, but anyone that would make a donation... in this period, Christmas period, or anyone that
purchases from a shop,
go and get the straws. you can get stickers, you can get t-shirts, you can get all different things. If you just go across the store, especially if you're based in the States, it's all in dollars and that.
Yep.
I think if you're based in the UK, you might want to contact us if you want something. So I think you can get it easier for you than paying it to be shipped from the States, but. The stickers on there, that kind of thing as well. But anyone that makes a purchase from there, now see two of you, say Mr. and Mrs. Darnell, could get together and buy a t-shirt and just share it.
Well, yeah.
But then they'd still get, both of them would still get access to the shop. Now they get access.
Yeah, but maybe they want a shirt each.
Yeah, well, they're actually Patreon supporters. They get it.
They are, aren't they? Yeah.
They get it. They get it included, so. But, you know, if you wanted to, you could share a sticker and listen with your partner.
Yeah.
Whatever donation you make, then...
You'll get the show.
Yeah. I spoke a bit about, in the intro, a little bit about the state of podcasting. So if you can help us out, we will do really appreciate it.
We do. We do indeed.
Join Patreon, buy an item from the shop, or make a donation.
Yep.
I prefer you to buy an item, to be honest, than make a donation, because at least you're getting something out of it.
You're getting something out of it, definitely.
Donations, we get more out of it. Say you bought a $10 t-shirt, we'd probably get a few dollars. But if you give us a $10 donation, we get the full amount.
Yeah.
So it's better for us. But
you've got a t-shirt.
Yeah,
out of
we'd
it.
Rather you had something. You know. So yeah, consider that. Anyway, enough for that. Getting close to the holiday season, so we'll probably put out another show before that. But just in case we don't,
that's it. If Lee's sober, next week we'll get another one out.
So let's just say happy holidays anyway, just in case. But we were hoping to put another show out, and they've got that Secret Santa one to go out anyway. So that
we'll try and get some fast blasts, won't we? Get some fast blasts out as well. But yeah.
If you haven't already, though, listen to the previous episodes. People are missing them due to the way the algorithms are set up now. So if you think that you've missed a show, then do go back and check it out.
Or are you just in a time lapse?
Yeah, or that. Could be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the other side.
Bye for now.
Well, they've gone. No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.